The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
700 of the top healthcare professionals in the area of heart health have been gathering in Dublin for the last couple of days for the Dublin Heart Summit. It's organised by the Matter Private Network in Dublin. And one of the people who has been at that is Dr. Roisin Colleran, who is giving a lecture as part of the work that she had published in the Lancet Commission on coronary artery disease and a global initiative that she's part of looking at how to prevent the disease and therapies to halt progression. And she's with us this morning. Roisin, good morning.
Good morning, Anton. Thanks for having me.
Coronary artery disease causes what and is how significant?
So coronary artery disease is the term for buildup of atherosclerosis, or basically fatty deposits in the wall of coronary arteries. It causes heart attacks and it causes heart failure. It's the leading cause of mortality worldwide in both men and women, so globally, but also in Ireland. So I guess this document was aimed at, I guess, a Lancet commission is where the Lancet editors convene experts from around the world and ask them to identify an area of critical need or of urgent need in medicine or global health, with the hoping that the recommendations will influence health policy or clinical practice.
The recommendations you landed on were what?
So I guess if you look at the last 100 or at least last 70 years, there have been huge developments in the area of coronary artery disease. So from the first coronary angiogram to the first bypass at the start of the 60s, first percutaneous intervention or balloon angioplasty in 1977, therapies to halt progression of atherosclerosis and other diagnostics to tell us if there's a problem with blood supply to the heart muscle. Despite so many amazing advances, the rates of death continue to rise, and by 2050 it is forecast that the rate of death from coronary artery disease is set to double to 10.4 million deaths globally per year. So I suppose our main aim was to try and reduce global mortality and morbidity from coronary artery disease. And I guess when we sat down and looked at it, I mean, this was mainly cardiologists, mainly interventional cardiologists like myself, who stent and put in stents and fixed narrowings. And when we looked down and sat down and looked at things, we thought, well, what is the biggest thing that could impact global morbidity and mortality from this disease? And really, if we just implement what we already know, aside from new developments, which will also be extremely important, but, you know, risk factor control is really abysmal. You know, not only in third world countries, but also in high income countries.
And does that mean diet, fitness and lifestyle effectively?
It does, yeah. So I suppose we know, the traditional risk factors, the weight, the diabetes, the cholesterol, the blood pressure, the smoking, the family history. Of course, we can't change the latter, but we can modify all the others. There are also novel risk factors. You know, sleep is now recognised as a risk factor. Inflammation, so any chronic inflammatory conditions, previous cancer, lots of other potential therapeutic targets. But if we look at the traditional risk factors, if we were to just manage those globally, we could reduce the rates of death by 80% by 2050.
Now, is the fact that people don't follow the ideal guidelines, that they don't know what the guidelines are, or that they don't have the whatever it may be, pejorative, willpower, self-control to do it?
That's a really good question. I think it's a mix. So I guess we had our keynote lecture was given by a very famous cardiologist yesterday, Dr. Valentin Fuster, and he is very big in the area of prevention. And he's very involved in, I suppose, he advocates the benefit of educating children, because I suppose we have different types of prevention, but primordial prevention is the prevention of development of a risk factor. And this is really key. 8% of children worldwide are overweight or obese, and this is going to become a bigger and bigger risk factor for coronary artery disease. And he's involved in programs in Latin America to try and educate children and their families on healthy lifestyles. He. In fact, I don't know if you watch Sesame Street, Anton, but
not as much as I once did, but on occasion.
There is a character called Dr. Rooster on Sesame Street, who is in fact based on Dr. Fuster. So that is the level of celebrity we were dealing with yesterday in Dublin. And he comes on and he educates the other Muppets on healthy lifestyle. So exercise, you know, quizzing the Cookie Monster on anytime food or sometimes
food. Cookie Monster has a significant issue, it has to be said, in this area.
But he has learned.
He's active.
Yeah. Well, looking at kind of anytime foods that that are healthy to eat anytime, or sometimes foods, and you know, such as cookies, and I suppose showing children that if Cookie Monster can say no to cookies sometimes, then anybody can do it. So I think it's both. It's healthcare providers looking for risk factors and treating them if they're there. But a huge part of it is preventing the development of risk factors and getting children early.
What about people's capacity to spot symptoms and seek treatment? Is there a tendency for people to ignore pains, numbness, tingling, the kind of red flags, and say, ah, it's probably nothing?
I think this is getting better, but certainly there's a big crossover between kind of stomach symptoms and heart symptoms. And sometimes people will come in after a few days of indigestion and unfortunately will have missed a heart attack. So I suppose any pain lasting more than 15 minutes, really, we would recommend people seek medical advice. But I guess what we're trying to do is, these are the very late stages of the disease and obviously important to seek medical advice, but we're trying to prevent people. We're trying to make these events never events that are really viewed as failure of upstream prevention.
Is there any chance that your problem may be solved by some of the new medicines that are coming in to treat obesity, and that if you get people on those prescriptions, they drop the weight, they also drop an awful lot of the heart risk?
That's a great question as well. I mean, absolutely. Obesity in this part of the world, I mean, we've seen a huge decline in smoking rates, but obesity is on the rise. And in developed countries, in high and middle income countries, obesity is really the source of a lot of evil, because it's a risk factor for development of diabetes, of blood pressure, of cholesterol, what we call the metabolic syndrome. And if we can just get people to reduce the weight or maintain a weight and not put it on in the first place, then obviously we will reduce the chances of developing any of those diseases. In your second question, I guess that these therapies are life-changing. We've seen amazing results in trials in people with established coronary disease or cardiovascular disease, where we've seen huge declines in future cardiovascular events in people on these tablets, or injections, I should say, either with diabetes or overweight. But one problem is, of course, cost and availability, and these will have a bigger role in the future. But at the moment, I suppose they're expensive and not available to everyone.
What then about treatment? Because I was surprised by what you said, that the first bypass was only in the 60s that it was ever achieved. What's currently coming down the track in terms of treatment that you hold out hope for?
That's a great question. I mean, I guess, you know, it's a very dynamic area, cardiology and coronary artery disease. There are products being developed and we, you know, to halt progression of atherosclerosis, which is the underlying pathology of these narrowings. And we would hope that could hopefully regress. So at present, we can only stabilise plaques with your cholesterol tablets, with your statins.
As in once the plaque is built up on the artery,
yeah,
that's
so
it.
It's a very common question I get after an angiogram. If there's a little bit of plaque there, people say, well, how do I get rid of that? And I say, well, we actually haven't discovered that therapy yet. So at the moment, it's all about prevention of future events. So once you have it, we can't clear it. But therapies coming down the line, to answer your question, I suppose one big thing is these one and done therapies for reduction of cholesterol. So we've discovered some people seem to be naturally protected from developing coronary atherosclerosis. And people who have knockouts in certain genes which control production of cholesterols in the liver. And gene editing. So they've discovered therapies, they've come up with therapies to actually edit these genes, where you could have an IV infusion once in the lifetime. This RNA gets into these cells, edits the gene, and essentially knocks out the cholesterol producing gene and reduces cholesterol levels by at least a half and protects from coronary artery disease. So that's the type of technology coming down the line.
This is not sci-fi.
These are in clinical trials already, phase 3 clinical trials. So
if people want to find out more about the kind of things they should be doing before we get to the silver bullet solutions to prevent their risk, is there a good website you'd recommend? Is it HSE?
So I suppose the Irish Heart Foundation has a good website with a lot of these recommendations, British Heart Foundation, and any of the good, you know, Cleveland Clinic, Mayo Clinic in the US, AHA, American Heart Association.
Róisín, thank you very much for coming in. That is Dr. Róisín Colloran of the Matter Private Network, Dublin. And that summit, of course, was the Dublin Heart Summit.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.